procured the implements and the colored blocks for practical experiment. And I followed the instructions carefully till I had arrived at a working conception of four-dimensional space. The tesseract, the figure whose boundaries are cubes, I knew by heart. That is to say, I knew it and saw it mentally. For my eye, of course, could never take in a new measurement, or my hands and feet handle it. I reached sometimes a point of view whence all the great puzzle of the world became plain to me, and I understood what they call in the yoga books the great heresy of separateness. Why, all great teachers have urged the necessity of man loving his neighbor as himself. How men are all really one. And why the utter loss of self is necessary to salvation and the discovery of the true life of the soul.
An amphicural knot upon a liquid vortex wrought by intellect in the unseen residing, while thou dost like a convict sit with marlin spike untwisting it, only to find my knottiness abiding, since all the tools for my untying in four-dimension space are lying, where playful fancy intersperses a whole avenues of universes, where Klein and Clifford fill the void with one unbounded, finite homaloid, whereby the infinite is hopelessly destroyed. But when thy science lifts her pinions in speculation's wild dominions, I treasure every dictum thou emittest, while down the stream of evolution we drift and look for no solution but that of survival of the fittest, till in that twilight of the gods, when earth and sun are frozen clods, when all its matter degraded, matter in ether shall have faded, we, that is, all the work we've done, as waves in ether shall forever run, in swift, expanding spheres through heavens beyond the sun. Great principle of all we see, thou endless continuity. By thee are all our angles gently rounded. Our misfits are by thee adjusted. And as I still in thee have trusted, so let my methods never be confounded. Oh, never may direct creation breach in upon my contemplation. Still may the causal chain ascending appear unbroken and unending. And where the chain is best to sight, let viewless fancies guide my darkling flight through eon-haunted worlds, in order infinite.
Figure, a three-dimensional man has two choices every time he crosses a line of juncture, like a wall or a threshold. Ordinarily, he will make a 90-degree turn through the fourth dimension, only he doesn't feel it with his three dimensions. Look. He stepped through the very window that he had fallen out of a moment before, stepped through and arrived in the dining room, where he stood, still talking. I watched where I was going and arrived where I intended to. He stepped back into the lounge. The time before I didn't watch, and I moved on through normal space and fell out of the house. It must be a matter of subconscious orientation.
The fourth, fifth, and sixth gifts consist of the cube variously divided into solid parallelepipeds, or brick-shaped forms, and into smaller cubes and prisms. Observation is called on with increasing strictness. Relativity appreciated, and the opportunity afforded for endless manifestations of constructiveness. And all the while, impressions are forming in the mind which, in due time, will bear geometrical fruits. And fruits, too, of aesthetic culture. The dawning sense of the beautiful, as well as of the true, is beginning to gain consistency and power.
Conceive beings like infinitely attenuated bookworms in an infinitely thin sheet of paper, which possess only the notion of space of two dimensions. So we may imagine beings capable of realizing space of four or a greater number of dimensions. Let us now endeavor to realize the condition of a being living in space of two dimensions. If man possessed the eyes and the power of flight of an eagle, superadded to his ordinary intellectual qualities, he would no doubt have very enlarged views of space. Consider that in crumpling a leaf of paper, which may be taken as representing a space of two dimensions, we may have some portions of it plain, and other portions more or less cylindrically or conically curved. But an inhabitant of such a sheet, though living in space of two dimensions only, and therefore we might say beforehand incapable of appreciating the third dimension, would certainly feel some difference of sensations in passing from portions of his space which were less to other portions which were more curved. So it is possible that in the rapid march of the solar system through space, we may be gradually passing to regions in which space has not precisely the same properties as we find here, where it may have something in three dimensions analogous to curvature in two dimensions. Something, in fact, which will necessarily imply a fourth dimension change of form in portions of matter in order that they may adapt themselves to their new locality. Now imagine that a man this endowed with our own notions of space of three dimensions begins to stoop forward and to grow so. His eyes survey less space, he stoops more forward. His body forms angles of 80 degrees, 70 degrees, 60 degrees, 50 degrees in succession with a horizontal plane. Then he is obliged to go on all fours. His limbs shorten and are gradually absorbed into the mass of his body.
I went to the bottom and I went through. I had to be there for you. And at the bottom, you know what I found? This inner space is coming out of me now, folding and unfolding. To infinity, just one electron, zigzagging in space, in every person, in every place. Mother Electron, she is here and there, twinning herself and twinning her care, folding and unfolding to infinity. There was a big bang, 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 bang. And then there were strings, 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 strings in tiny spaces, in hidden places, in another dimension, in curled up dimensions, folding and unfolding to infinity. I go walking and I meet myself. Am I here? Or am I somewhere else? Can I go backwards and be there twice? Can I unfold this 3D life? Folding and unfolding to infinity. I need a wormhole, and I need it now. I've got to be in two places somehow, in another dimension. It all makes sense. In 4D, I can be omnipresent, folding and unfolding to infinity. I went to the bottom, and I went through. I had to be there for you, like a Klein bottle. I am outside and in, weaving my threads and looping them in. It might be that we are tangled knots on one single thread.
Be curled up into a small ball. Presumably, In the very early universe, all the dimensions would have been very curved. Why did one time dimension and three space dimensions flatten out, while the other dimensions remain tightly curled up? One possible answer is the anthropic principle. Two space dimensions do not seem to be enough to allow for the development of complicated beings like us. For example, two-dimensional animals living on a one-dimensional Earth would have to climb over each other in order to get past each other. If a two-dimensional creature ate something it could not digest completely, it would have to bring up the remains the same way it swallowed them. Because if there were a passage right through its body, it would divide the creature into two separate halves. Our two-dimensional being would fall apart. Similarly, it is difficult to see how there could be any circulation of the blood in a two-dimensional creature.
The extra-spatial dimensions of string theory cannot be crumpled up any which way. The equations that emerge from the theory severely restrict the geometrical form that they can take. In 1984, Philip Candelas of the University of Texas at Austin, Gary Horowitz and Andrew Strominger of the University of California at Santa Barbara, and Edward Witten showed that a particular class of six-dimensional geometrical shapes can meet these conditions. They are known as Calabi-Yau spaces. Calabi-Yau shapes. At every point in the three familiar extended dimensions, string theory claims that there are six hitherto unanticipated dimensions. Tightly curled up into one of these rather complicated looking shapes, dimensions are an integral and ubiquitous part of the spatial fabric. They exist everywhere. For instance, if you sweep your hand in a large arc, you are moving not only through the three extended dimensions, but also through these curled up dimensions. Of course, because the curled up dimensions are so small, as you move your hand, you circumnavigate them an enormous number of times, repeatedly returning to your starting point. Their tiny extent means that there is not much room for a large object, like your hand, to move. It all averages out so that after sweeping your arm, you are completely unaware of the journey you took through the curled up Calabi-Yau dimension.
Figures and your head. Most people talk about their three-dimensional imagination as visualization, but that isn't exactly right. A visual image is a kind of picture, and it's really two-dimensional. The image you form in your head is more conceptual than a picture. You locate things in more of a three-dimensional model than in a picture. In fact, it is quite hard to go from a mental image to a two-dimensional visual picture. Children struggle long and hard to learn to draw because of the real conceptual difficulty of translating three-dimensional mental images into two-dimensional images. Three-dimensional mental images are connected with your visual sense, but they are also connected with your sense of place and motion. Hickey. In forming an image, it often helps to imagine moving around it or tracing it out with your hands, which the size of an image is important. Imagine a little half-inch sugar cube in your hand, a 2-foot cubicle box, and a 10-foot cubicle room that you're inside. Logically, the three cubes have the same information, but people often find it easier to manipulate the larger image that they can move around in.
Alice's method of discovery was typically that of an amateur. She started by noticing that a corner in a regular four-dimensional figure, bounded by tetrahedra, for instance, can only have either 4, 8, or 20 of them meeting at a point. Because a section of three-dimensional space close to the corner in a symmetrical position could only be a tetrahedron, an octahedron, or an icosahedron. She then traced, using only Euclid's construction, the progress of the section as the four-dimensional figure passed through our three-dimensional space. In this way, Alice, employing only Euclid's constructions, produced sections of all the 6 regular polytopes.
I am an artist. I am a woman. I am a wife. I am a mother. I do a hell of a lot of washing, cleaning, cooking, renewing, supporting, preserving, etc. Also, up to now separately, I do art. Now I will simply do these maintenance everyday things and flush them up consciousness, exhibit them as art. No, it's a sub-resure. I will live in the museum as I customarily do at home with my husband and my babies, right? Or if you don't want me around at night, I could come in every day for the duration of the exhibition and do all these things as public art activities. I will sweep and wax the floors, dust everything, wash the walls. I floor paintings, dust work, soap sculpture, wall paintings. So I've cook, invite people to eat, clean up, put away, change light bulbs. I might save and make agglomerations and dispositions of all functional refuse. The exhibition area might look empty of art, but it will be maintained. Also, it's in full public view. My working will be the work.
The only person I ever met who had worked with them seriously was Francis Sedlak, a Czech Neo-Hegelian philosopher who lived in an Oneida-like community near Stroud in Gloucestershire. As you must know, the technique consists essentially in the sequential visualizing of the adjoined internal faces of the polycolored unit cubes making up the larger cube. It is not difficult to acquire considerable facility in this, but the process is one of auto-hypnosis, and after a while, the sequences begin to parade themselves through one's mind of their own accord. This is pleasurable in a way, and it was not until I went to see Sedlak in 1929 that I realized the dangers of setting up an autonomous process in one's own brain. For the record, the way out is to establish consciously a counter system differing from the first in that the core cube shows different colored faces, but withdrawal is slower. And I wouldn't recommend anyone to play around with the cubes at all.